All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, a podcast to promote and improve your practice as an athletic trainer. I am Jeremy Jackson, host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm joined with Dr. Lacey Harrison doing the interview. Oof, it's been a long day. I'm struggling. We're live at the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update here in Katy, Texas. And again, it's a fun event. We're live. We're kind of in the common area, so you might hear some noise. But Dr. Lindsay Crawford is going to be talking about growth plate injuries. So it'll be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/growth plate injuries. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/growth plate injuries if you want to find any links or anything we talk about or mention or ways to connect with either of them. All right. You got it.
All right, Dr. Crawford, thank you so much. You had the toughest slot for sure right after lunch.
And they served pasta and pizza.
I know.
Just to put everybody to sleep, right?
Right, but your presentation was great on growth plate injuries. I teach the orthopedic classes at UH for our Master of Athletic Training program. So a lot of the stuff you talked about, my students were right in the front. So I was like, I hope they're listening because they're going to see it all again.
Quiz them later, okay?
I will. Oh, I will because I know they were paying attention. Half of them were probably like, oh, we actually already heard about this. And then half of them just got here and they're like, well, we're learning, right? So I have some questions that is actually stuff that we can talk about in class with our students. So obviously the children are all aging differently, right? So sometimes it's hard to tell, like you brought up doing a Lockman's test, and sometimes we can't tell if that's an ACL injury or is that a growth plate fracture. So besides age, is there something that can clue us in on if we should be concerned that this is a growth plate injury?
Yeah, so I know it is really subtle, but the location of the pain, right? So whether the pain's at the actual joint itself, or is it over the bone that's like adjacent to the joint? So it's one of those subtle things, of course. And I would definitely say a lot of times for me, if I have a growing athlete coming into the clinic with a pretty significant injury, you see significant swelling. Before I'm getting in and doing an aggressive Lockman, I'm actually going to get x-rays first. So I'm not out there doing a Lockman on what is actually a fracture. And so I realize out on the field, we don't have that convenience of something of that sort. So again, it might be a little bit more of really a very kind of specific location of the pain. And if you have a young growing athlete, you even mentioned it's kind of hard because we all grow at different paces, right? And females definitely end up finishing growth before males. And so all that can get a little confusing and complicated, but you can always just err on the side of not being like super aggressive in your examination if you aren't totally clear on where the injury is exactly.
Okay, great. And also, sometimes our kiddos aren't great at really verbalizing the pain that they're feeling or where their pain
sometimes,
is.
Sometimes, I mean, come on.
All the time.
All the time.
Right. So do you have any tips that could help us with that, helping us get them to really be able to verbalize what's going on?
Yeah, so I find that difficult too. So, you know, we kind of talk through things like little leaguer shoulder or elbow. I mean, it's not like they come in going, hey, my pain happens to be over my medial epicondyle, guys, you know, so it's usually a very vague kind of elbow pain. And so, so taking time, just start with looking. Sometimes they may have some associated redness, swelling, or bruising in a certain area that may clue you in a little bit. And then I just really, again, break down each, you know, part of, say, an elbow or a knee when I'm doing my exam, and just kind of systematically, once you kind of come up with the way you're going to do it, every time I kind of work my way through, I'm feeling the medial aspect of the patella, now quad tendon, lateral patella, patellar tendon, and just trying to break it all down. And sometimes too, they have a little bit of trouble relaxing for exam. So again, trying to kind of get them to look away. When they're looking, they tend to like be hyper-focused. So we do try and get them to not like look at what I'm examining, but just maybe even close their eyes sometimes and think about, you know, what you're feeling and where it's bothering them, because they tend to tense up so bad, or be super ticklish is the other thing.
Yeah, that's great advice.
So real quick, did you say that you verbalize, you say, okay, well, now I'm feeling over this aspect, like now I'm feeling your quad? Or did you say you just think that?
I'm thinking through all of that. Yeah. So I try to not have them focus so much on where I'm, what I'm doing and where I'm pushing. And so again, sometimes it literally is like, have them close their eyes, have them kind of like look away. I'm telling you, the more they're like focused on what you're doing, they're just like, you know, because some of those kids, they'll say yes to literally everything you touch. You know, you can go and like poke them on the nose and they're like, yeah, ouch. So that's so challenging. I think that's really what makes children a challenging group of patients, though.
Yeah, for sure. And you also brought up Little League elbow. So do you have any tips for talking to parents, coaches? You mentioned in your talk pitch counts. How do we get that information across to advocate for our patient?
Yeah. So that, especially here in Texas, year-round baseball is huge. And a lot of parents have their kid like subspecialize like into pitching like very early on, which is like during an area, during a time of growth. And so this literally comes up in my clinic on a weekly basis. And so I did mention that you have to tailor the treatment a bit. So I get a really good impression of like what the parents like and what the child's like. And so some of them you can just say, hey, I just want you to rest. You know, I just need you to not be throwing things. And then I'll have ones where I'll say that. And then the parents will call me the next day. Well, you said don't throw a baseball. So he's out in the back throwing the football, the wiffle ball, and every other type of ball that they can find, because you said baseball specifically. And so these are the kids that might earn themselves a cast. And so, so one, just tailoring, getting a sense of that child, their level of activity, the level of how they're going to be compliant with my recommendations. And then number two, once we kind of get past that, they're doing well, they're ready to go back. Again, I am like handouts, 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 have things written down. I think it's hard for people to remember everything that you talk about. And I want the parents to be able to take everything back to coach, take it to their pitching coach, particularly those return to throw programs. They're very complex, if you've ever seen them. And it's a good stack of paper with a combination of stretching and, again, just kind of increasing velocity, increasing distance that they're throwing. And so there's no way you would be able to just tell somebody and send them like, hey, Google this, good luck, you know. Right. So you need to be, I'm just very direct. And what I also do then, once I have them return to their pitch, I bring them back into clinic. So I'm going to recess again, see if any pain has returned, and potentially get x-rays again as well to see if I see the issues returning to the growth plate. So it's definitely not a, hey, you go back, bye, you know, good luck to you. You know, I follow back up with them again.
And can you speak to the mental health of those patients at all when you do have to shut them down for a little bit? Like, for example, if you have to use a cast, do you notice any impacts for those patients?
I mean, there's a reason why I have a box of Kleenex in my clinic office. As you can imagine, it's summertime in Texas, and I have a lot of broken children and children needing to pull back on things. So I say that I am the breaker of hearts. I do make a lot of children upset. Usually the good news is that between mom and dad and kid, usually somebody's like going to be the strong one and can kind of hold the rest of us through. Sometimes it's a kid, you never know. Sometimes the parents are the most upset about it.
Oh, wow.
I do always really focus on when I sit down with them is figuring out, where are they in the season? Okay, what's our goal? When's the competition? What is the most important competition that you want to play in? Is, you know, are you guys going to Little League World Series? And so if we can kind of have a date and a goal of what's most important to that patient, it does help us, me, to kind of like set out, okay, well, we have an endpoint. This is where we want to be. We want to be playing by here, and this is how we're going to get there.
Gotcha. I love that you brought up the Little League World Series because I'm from near Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
It's great. But we also have to bring up the curveball. So some research says if the child can throw it and it doesn't hurt and they're throwing it well, we let them do it. Some people say no curveball at all. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, even in ours, you know, when we look at it, it's also unclear as well, too. So my approach to it, so if I have a kid coming in that's just added in a curveball and now we're having an issue, then we're definitely taking that back out. Right. I am sure there are many kids out there throwing these curveballs and that don't ever come to see me. So they seem to be handling it well. But definitely anything that they've added in, changed up, and now we're having an issue, that's going to come out.
Gotcha. And then another thing you brought up was mysterious knee pain, always check out the hip. So can you talk about that a little more and what we see in our pediatric patients?
Yeah, so that is one of those things that I learned early on with kids. So knee or kind of like vague thigh pain, because you're kind of like, what is it? Like your whole entire quad? What's, you know, like what's going on there? So they say they're complaining of knee pain, but you're sitting down, you're doing an exam, you're looking at the entire knee, and your exam, totally normal, totally benign. Nothing that you're pushing on is bothering them at all. All I'm saying is just add into that exam a hip exam. So just start, kind of log roll the hip, take that hip through a range of motion, go through and check for any tenderness to palpation there. So again, it's just like an easy add-on. Okay, I've looked at the, they're complaining about their knee. Their knee seems totally fine. So let me move up the chain here. Let me see what's going on up at the hip. And you will find that here and there, you're going to be like, winner, I found one. This is really a hip problem that they are feeling as a thigh or a knee issue. So it's just taking that time to add that exam. You know, sometimes we just really focus in on that one little area they're complaining about and forget to kind of examine that entire extremity.
So does that mean we can kind of rule out growing pains? Like we used to hear that a lot with our kids. Is that a thing, or there's always something that's wrong, right?
Oh, girl. I mean, growing pains is, you know, those are real. So, you know, so some kids do have pain. So the kind of the classic story for a growing pain is it's really going to be a younger child. So I'm usually getting more of like the little older toddler, you know, 3 to 5 years, 6 year old. They classically will complain of pain at nighttime. It'll be in their calf a lot of times, pain kind of along their calf. Sometimes they'll say foot or knee. And so they can't relate it. It's not activity related. So that's one big difference from our young athletes.
That's good to know.
And it's a lot of these like wake them up from their sleep. Okay. And so a lot of these athletes with these, you know, kind of apophyseal and physeal things, it's pain with their activity, but they're sleeping just fine at night, you know? So these kids are waking up at night. Now I will tell you, when I have these patients come in for evaluation, I do x-ray. I mean, I do try to assess that growth plate and look for a normal x-ray. I don't want to write it off as, oh, this is simply a growing pain when there's an actual like real pathology going on there. So I definitely like to have a good evaluation on those patients as well.
Okay. And then I know Jeremy's going to bring this up, but there was a lot of talk about your social media at the beginning and you were getting introduced. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I mean, I felt like, you know, some of these guys that have, you know, been working with all these teams for like all these years had such cool intros. And I was like, look, I'm younger. I need to, you know, sound cool though. So we got to check us out. Instagram, TikTok, UT Pete's Ortho. We just put up a few recent fabulous things on there. But please, you got to check out our Hammer Time video from back during the COVID days. You will see how skilled or lack of skilled some of my partners are at dancing, and it'll be a good laugh.
That's so fun. Do you think that that's helping a lot with parents and with your patients and helping you just kind of relate to what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, everything with like COVID and the pandemic has really, particularly kids, right, has really thrown everything off. They got out of their routines. And it's been tough getting back into things. Like we had a ton of kids coming in because we were kind of doing the couch to football field type of thing was going on there for a while. And, you know, kids were having, you know, even more of these kind of overuse issues because their bodies weren't ready for everything. So, you know, it's, there's just so much there that's going on with these kids. And so it's great to see a lot of the sports getting back to normal, these kids getting back out there. So that's definitely good. And it's always fun to me to bring fun into work too. That's what I love about PD Ortho. I mean, kids are so funny. I could probably take some quote every day out of something a kid says to me in clinic. And so sometimes you just have to kind of like sit back and really enjoy your job and enjoy what you're doing.
Oh, that's great. I'm definitely going to check out your Instagram and all that, though, and your TikTok. That sounds awesome. And thank you so much for being here and doing this interview with us. I know Jeremy's probably going to have some other questions for you.
So you said UTP Ortho.
Yeah, UTP. So it's UTPEDS Ortho, ORTHO. Hashtag.
PEDS. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So actually, it's been a while, but I came to see you with my son. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes. Well, I mean, you don't even remember your name right now, so yeah. I'm just kidding. I guess you knew your own name, but.
Yes, I knew my own. Everything else. But, you know, obviously so much. I think it was pre-COVID, and so there's been so much happening. And so I actually saw Dr. Crawford for my son. He had a dislocated SC joint, and we went there multiple times for x-rays. And so fantastic. Dr. Crawford was great. So you're about to say something.
Only you would have a kid with like a super rare SC joint injury though, right? Because this is not even common.
You know, earlier someone was talking about, Dr. Effetti was talking about spontaneous pneumothoraxes, and it usually happens in skinny, athletic, male, like 15 to 20 year olds. And I'm like, oh gosh, I have three kids, three males that are going to be there. And you know, next 10 years, I'm going to be in trouble. So
yeah, exactly. Like, basically, my child stands no chance. He will be breaking a bone any minute now, so right. We're just waiting for it.
All right, so UTPEDS Ortho on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Right? And if somebody, is that a good, like, you check those instant messages or the direct messages there?
Oh, yeah. So, actually, my partner, Jessica Traver, she is PD Sports Medicine Dual Fellowship trained. She's our master, and she is super great at keeping up with all of our social media, so We will get it. We are on it.
All right. Very good. So Dr. Lindsay Crawford talking about growth plate injuries. And again, check out the UTPEDS Ortho, UTPEDS Ortho on TikTok and Instagram. And you can reach out to them there if you want to have them, you know, do a cameo in your TikTok or
that's right. Or if you need us, I mean, we are, the great thing is I have partners. We are all over the greater Houston area. We are there for you and your kids.
So in personal assessment, they fantastic job taking care of my son. And he was at that point a typical, 5-year-old, I think. And, you know, the sling was just another obstacle for him to jump on the trampoline over. So it is what it is, right?
I usually tell people, just don't tell me. I just don't want to know.
All right. So for Jeremy, Dr. Lindsay Crawford, Dr. Lacey Harrison, in the Sports Medicine Broadcast, live from the Sports Medicine Update from Memorial Hermann here in Katy, Texas. That is a wrap.